Psalm 118. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say, his mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say, his mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say, his mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surround me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surround me. Yes, they surround me. But in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surround me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall. But the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God. I will praise you. You are my God. I will exalt you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Amen. Lord, as we come now to look at your word, we do pray that you will speak to us through it. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'd like to look briefly at a verse from that psalm I read from Psalm 118. And there are a number of verses in there which I imagine are very familiar. We've heard them before. We've sung them before. And I was really, the Lord laid it on my heart this morning to look at this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's verse 24 of Psalm 118. We've sung it before, we've heard it before, and yet the Lord laid that on my heart. So why is it the Lord's day? Is it the Lord's day? Can we be glad in it and rejoice because it is sunny? It is fairly sunny. You can see the light pouring into my study. It's not the sunniest day we've had. But is that a reason for it? Should we rejoice and be glad in this day? Because the day's turning out quite well. Perhaps there are, you know, some books you're going to read or some plans you have. That interests you and excites you. Well, I'm afraid not. Why is it the Lord's day? Why should we rejoice? Why should we be glad in it? Well, first and foremost, it is the Lord's day. The Jews would have called it, the Sabbath. Today is the day of rest. for me. It is a time and an opportunity to leave aside the cares of the world, to stop tidying and cleaning and sorting, and to focus upon the Lord, to focus upon my spiritual life. And for that reason, it's a good day. It's a day to rejoice and be glad. I would urge you not to go shopping today, not to clean the bathroom, not to disinfect the toilet. Save that for the other days in the week. Let this be a day in which you focus upon the Lord. In one respect, all days are the Lord's day. We can't just serve him on Sunday or on the Sabbath. We serve him every day of the week. Our times are in his hands. Our futures, though they are not known to us, are known and ordained by him. They are guarded by him and kept by him. Therefore, we can apply this verse, in fact, to every day of the week. You may be aware that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, in fact, they're all named after pagan gods. And we are living in an increasingly secular and or pagan kind of country. Despite that, this is the day that the Lord has made. Therefore, we will rejoice and be glad in it. It's the Lord's day, whether the people out there believe it and accept it or not. I think in that verse also there is an echo of creation. In the creation story, God creates something each day apart from on that day when he has the rest. And our God is an active day. New every morning are his mercies. What will God do today around the world? What will he do in the universe? What will he do in our fellowship? What will he do in our hearts? We have an active God who creates from nothing. And God is still a creator. He still creates in human beings a new heart. He still creates in them hearts of flesh. He creates new life in dead sinners. He gives new hope. He gives a new future, new blessing. Each day, every one of us receives new grace. That is why today is the Lord's Day. We can rejoice and be glad in it. Nevertheless, the psalm itself offers reasons for that wonderful 24th verse. Why is today the Lord's Day? Why should we rejoice in it? Why should we be glad? Well, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord for his good. His mercy endures forever. If you look at all the pagan gods, the gods which people worship elsewhere, they're all pretty vile. But our God is known for his goodness. He is a good God. And furthermore, not only is he good, but he's merciful. Now, he could be righteous and good without being merciful. He could dispense justice on each one of us and strike us all down, but he doesn't. His mercy endures forever. Forever includes eternity. In other words, 200 years into eternity, he's not going to bring up the bad things that we've done wrong. They've all been forgiven by Christ. His mercy is eternal. Verses 5 and 6 talk about how God has rescued. He called on, I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. The Lord is the Lord who rescues us in the day of trouble. Life is full of trouble, difficulty and hardship as the sparks fly upward. And for each one of those days, it is the Lord's day upon which the Lord rescues, delivers and saves. He is the God who answers prayer. I called on the Lord. The Lord answered me. In verse 13, the psalmist refers to something going on in his life, which I don't fully understand. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Evidently, the psalmist, it may be David, has got a number of enemies, people gunning for him, people who are looking forward to his falling, perhaps even dying. And the fact is that although we are to live at peace with everyone, there will be people we come across who don't like us, who despise us, who want us to do badly. Thankfully, the Lord is not one of them. Though others push, though others make us fall, though others would make us fall away and go down bypath meadow, the Lord helped me. Rejoice today, not that it's sunny or that you don't have any enemies, because I'm sure you do, but rather rejoice it's the day of God's help. You will call on me on the day of trouble, says Psalm 50 verse 15. I will deliver you and you will honour me. Today is the Lord's day. Rejoice and be glad. In verse 17 it says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. Well, the psalmist here is anticipating eternal life. He may be referring to the enemies who are trying to kill him, but I think here we have a general idea of going to heaven to be with Christ. If you're feeling down, perhaps today, perhaps some other day, you need to rejoice because you're going to go to heaven and you're going to be there a long time. And it's going to be absolutely magnificent. And sometimes when we are feeling down and miserable, we ought to be a bit more heavenly minded. I remember when I was growing up, people said we can be too heavenly minded to be of any earthly use. And that, of course, is a load of rubbish. If we were more heavenly minded, we'd be of more earthly use. And I also think that if we were heavenly minded, we would not allow the difficulties and trials of this life, which is ever so brief and passing away, to get us down. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. Friends, let me tell you this. Your death day will be far better than your birthday. We celebrate our birthdays by giving presents. When someone has a death day, clearly we can't celebrate with them, but we tend to commiserate with their friends and family. For the Christian, we ought to celebrate the death day because they've gone to be with Christ, which is better by far. Let me assure you, you have a great future. This is the day the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. Verse 21 says, I will praise you because you have answered me and have become my salvation. We are saved. We've been saved from death, saved from sin, saved from guilt, saved from hell. We've been saved from so much. Therefore, we can rejoice. Ah, you say, but I've got going through a tough time right now. You're still saved. And you must never allow the weights of this world to detract from the amazing fact that you're a saved person. You are God's beloved. You've received forgiveness of sin. We're no longer wallowing in our iniquity. We're no longer cowering from the grave. We've been saved from it. I will praise you. You have become my salvation. And finally, and I think this is the pinnacle of the psalm, here's a great reason to rejoice and be glad. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. Now, Peter makes it clear that this is, in fact, is a reference to the Messiah. Though he be rejected by men, his own received him not, though Israel, the builders, would reject him when he came. In fact, he has become the chief cornerstone. The psalmist here beholds the means by which he can rejoice and be glad, the means by which he can be saved, the means by which he can be delivered. The Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, it's the Lord's day. I want you to be glad. Rejoice. For all the reasons I've given you, yes indeed, but chiefly because of Jesus Christ. He has procured our salvation. He has rescued us from death. He provides for us now. Though we be pushed down, he delivers and raises us up. He created in us a new heart. He continues to be active. And though he was rejected when he came, and he's still rejected now by many folk out there, in fact, he is the chief cornerstone. He is what holds the universe together. And can I also say, he is the one that holds you together. I don't know whether you're worried by this virus and the troubles of the world, or whether you dismiss them as a fuss over nothing. I think I'm a bit of both. But this much I do know. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, forever, will hold me, guide me, guard me, and keep me. And he'll do that today, and he'll do it tomorrow, and he'll do it the day after. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.